Well, while a youth camp, what like really got me was the preaching, because it was like three times a day. The preaching was three times a day, and it was talking about Egypt and the way it's the world and stuff, and they spoke about the struggles that everyone has, and that really spoke to me. And I'd just like to start with a word of prayer. Dear God, I just hope that I just pray for your help, Lord, as I say this message, O Lord. I pray that you use me, O Lord, to speak to these people, O Lord. Just want to thank you for youth camp, O Lord, how well it went, O Lord, how brilliant it went, O Lord. Even though the weather was bad, O Lord, we still had fun, O Lord. We just want to thank you for that. I thank you no one had any serious injuries, O Lord, and just bless the message I'm about to preach tonight, O Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. The title of my message is Struggling in the Wilderness Will Perfect, Establish, Strengthen, and Settle You. We all go through struggles. There's no exceptions. We all get tempted. We are all humans. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Chapter 10, verse 13. It says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." And also turn to 1 Peter 5:9. Actually, I'll read 1 Peter 5:8 as well. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom is steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." So everyone in the world goes through trials or struggles. And the Bible says that people accomplish them. It says that knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. An example of a struggle that the world thinks is a struggle is a financial struggle. But to us Christians, that isn't the real struggle. The world is struggling with a financial struggle, but no, our struggle is spiritual. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers and the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, against anything to do with money. We're wrestling, our battle is spiritual welfare. And what God would put His people on earth, and give them no equipment at all. Our God is a loving God, and He would not leave us to fight the battle without weapons and protection. He tells us to stand therefore the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And as Graham preached this morning, God also gives us spiritual leaders. And for example, Jesus Christ is a leader. In John 1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God." And Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And anytime you're struggling, talk to Him, turn to Him, speak to Him. He endured temptation. He was also made a man. He's made like you. He was a man of like passions as well. And He was tempted as well. Turn to Matthew 4. Yeah, Matthew 4. This is chapter Matthew. Matthew 4. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. So Jesus Christ was tempted, and what did he do? He went back to Scripture. He used the Bible. He used the Word of God to fight against the devil. Because that is our weapon, the Word of God, and the sword of the Spirit. So Jesus Christ understands what you are going through. Turn to him and he will help you. He will comfort you in your struggles. Our parents are also, as Dylan said, are also our counselors. They can help us out in times of need. They are also our age. They know what you've been through and they want to help you. Those in authority over you also have wisdom. They will also give you knowledge and ways to help your struggle. And those who follow the Lord wholly. The Bible says that Joshua and Caleb followed the Lord wholly. So he used them to lead Israel into the promised land instead of Moses. They followed the Lord with all their heart. They followed him wholly. If you're struggling and you feel like you're in the wilderness, ask for advice of all of these people I spoke about. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, they're both Proverbs 11, 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So if you go around to all these people I told you, and just ask them for help, for advice, that you will be safe. You will have a lot of knowledge, and you will have understanding from the people. Ask the people that walk with God, that follow him wholly, and most importantly, search the scriptures for yourself. Because if all these people that you ask aren't following God, and you don't have any idea of this, you need to know that the advice that they're giving you is godly. You need to search it in the Bible. You need to search it in the scriptures. While I was in youth camp, we got little booklets like this, and in the booklets they had all the daily routines, and they had all the people's names and stuff, and they had all our daily routines with all our breakfast times, and they had all our daily devotional that we do in the morning. And then they also had memory verses in the Bible. And then you get 100 points if you memorize one of them for your team. Your team will get 100 points. And if you memorize the yellow ones, I think you'll get a bit more. Is it 200 or something? I don't know, you get a bit more. And the yellow ones are they're really long and they're really big. And then if you memorize all 24 of them, you get 1,000 extra points. So that was a lot of points to memorize. And while I was trying to memorize each verse, it'll slowly sink into my heart. I'll be like, why am I memorizing this? And then, why am I memorizing this scripture? Is it just to get points? No, it's because my spirit was hungry, needed to get more food. You memorize the scripture, so when you're discouraged and you're in troubles, in trials, memorize the scripture so that they'll be at the back of your mind, and then they'll just feed you and just give you knowledge. And I was discouraged. I was discouraged. I couldn't learn one really long one. I think it was 1 Peter. It was a really long one anyway, and it was the one for it was like be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion. And I remember that one. It was really long. It was 1 Peter. It was like 5:8 to 10 or something, and it was really long. And then one morning, I was going to say it over and over. And then John walked up to me, and he was like, oh man, if you learn this scripture, it'll help you in times of troubles. So then I strive to learn it. I went to my room and I just kept on learning it. And now I know it, and I just can't wait for trouble to come because I just smashed it. And I remember a couple of months back, it was 6 months back, I was really discouraged going to church. I just didn't read my Bible, I didn't walk with God daily. But every single Sunday, I didn't go to church. There was always a voice in the back of my head telling me to go to church, giving me references to scriptures that I never knew I even learned off by heart. They'll just keep coming back to me. And maybe you're in the wilderness because you're just simply lazy. You don't wanna follow God's will. Maybe you don't wanna help out in the church, in the ministries. Go to Proverbs 13:4. Proverbs 13:4. It says, the soul of a sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of a diligent shall be made fat. And also go to Romans 12:11. Romans 12:11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So you need to go help out in any ministry in your church if you know you have any ability to do anything, because God, the body of Christ, is the church is the body of Christ, and we all have different things, like the eyes see and then the hands move, so you have a part in the church as well. And then we're also in a race. We're in the Christian race, as Paul described it often in the Bible. He'll always describe it as we're running a race. And in a race, you're looking toward the target, to the specific target you're looking to, and you have to go to that target. You don't look at the target, then turn right, and then start moving. You go straight to that target. You diligently search the target. That's what we should be doing with our Christian lives. And that God has a price for everyone who's willing to run the Christian race. I go to Philippians 3:13-14. Philippians 3:14. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He has a prize for us. I want to use someone as an example. Nathan, come up here. Come up here. Actually, no, Barry, because he's better. He's like worse eyesight. Barry, come up here. Take off your glasses. You see? Probably can't do anything. Can you see now? No, I don't trust. I do trust. Alright. Now, Barry is a Christian in the wilderness. And I'm just going to be the man in the wilderness who has the prize. Barry, I want you to follow my voice. I want you to be a Christian, diligently seeking God and following my voice. Follow my voice. Follow my voice. I'm over here. Yeah, keep walking. I'm over here. Hand out your hand. Hand out your hand. You can look now. He was a Christian that was diligently searching God, and he got a medal for it. He got a reward for what he was doing. The ticket taken. How am I tired of that? How am I tired? No, I'll just take it off. Don't pull it. Thank you. He's an example of a Christian who is diligently searching God and they're running his Christian race and following the voice of God, just like the children of Israel. They were God by day, God brought a cloud for them to fall on by night fire. So that's like an example of Barry. And maybe you're in the wilderness because God wants to purge you of some stuff you wouldn't let go. God wants you to let go of a part of you that's not fully ready to trust him. The part that keeps looking back. The part that keeps looking back to Egypt. Go into Luke 9:62. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So you can't just keep walking the Christian life and then turn around and then just you're struggling to keep going forward and keep turning back. No, you have to diligently search God and keep going forward. There's no turning back, or it's not fit for the kingdom of God, and God is going to purge that from you. So that's why you might be in the wilderness as we speak. We should not say we're Christians and act as as if we're not. Like Graham, always says, an apple will produce an apple tree, an orange tree. You can't be a Christian producing a pear. You can't be an apple producing a pear, because it just makes no sense. And in the multitude of the people that Moses led out of Egypt, there was all the children of Israel. There were a mixed multitude. There was also some Egyptians in there. So God was also trying to purge some of the people, the Egyptians that were trying to stop the children of Israel from reaching the Promised Land. Because every single time that there was an uprising in the multitude, it was always because of the mixed multitude. They would always say, God isn't doing this, we're thirsty, give us water, give us food. So God was in manna. God was long-suffering. Go to Jude 1:5. I've written down there. Must be important. I can't seem to find it. Nathan, can you quote it? Can you read it? Yeah, cool. See, so God destroyed them that believe not. He didn't want anyone ruining his the children of Israel that were supposed to be his nation. He doesn't want people ruining you. So he's probably put you in the wilderness to purge you of your friends that are discouraging you from God. No, bad friends. Oh, I already said that. And also some Christians are just simply submitting themselves into the world. They're just not having fruitful life from the Christian life because they're not putting any effort into it. They're just submitting themselves into the world, listening to rock and roll music and like intentionally watching bad things and intentionally going to bad friends and doing bad things. I don't know, it's just the way Christians are. And then it says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, love the Father is not in him. So you shouldn't love the world and all the things that are of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. Pardon? Oh yeah, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So as Christians, if we don't look onto the world, but we keep in our church, we keep the body of Christ, we keep holy and we keep pure, we will live forever and abide with God forever. You should submit yourselves to God. James 4:1 says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You should be walking in the Spirit. This is my life verse, Galatians 5:16. I want you to turn to Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So if you walk in the Spirit and just walk daily with God and live a pure Christian life and keep away from any fleshly desire and not fulfill our flesh, you will walk in the Spirit and will not do the things of the world. After you've done all these and just follow God wholly, God will lead you into the Promised Land. But that's only if you are willing to receive Him. And I want to leave you with a good note. Go to Romans 8:37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. So we are already conquerors. We already won the race. We already won our Christian life, but we just need to strive. God knows what you are able, what you are capable of. And that's why he's putting you into this trial, because he will not give you, he will not tempt you above that you think that you above that you are able, because he is a loving God, a caring God. He doesn't want to hurt you. He just wants to be near you, and he wants to like be closer to him. And with all this in mind, after you're done your trial, you will be stronger. You'll have a sense of peace like you never had before. You will go to sleep knowing that you have done right and that you've entered into the promised land. And if you're in the wilderness, and this is my challenge to you now, if you're in the wilderness, are you running around in circles like the children of Israel? Are you going around for 40 years? Are you just not even walking straight into the promised land? It's ridiculous how close they were to the promised land, and they just kept on going around and around for 40 years. Like, are you living by faith, and are you on your way to the promised land? And that's all I have to say. Amen.